Being here tonight, I told our group there in the prayer room before church, I kept getting texts. It's that time of year, Brother Worthen. We got people that work and work overtime, and we've got people, of course, it's church camp, and so a lot of people are up at the church camp grounds, and that takes a lot of our people away during the church camp season. It's vacation season. A lot of people are traveling still and on vacation, and then with sickness, we need to pray for several people. Brother Barrow mentioned that I wanted to share just a few things with you here that you can be praying for, but that takes a good portion out. So I kept, it's that time of year when my phone just starts blowing up on Wednesdays, you know. Pastor, we're sorry, we won't be there. Pastor, this is going on. And so I told them in the room there, I said, that group right there was already more than I thought would be here tonight. So I'm pretty excited that y'all are here. Amen. And you look good and you sound good. And I just, and no, my wife is not gone because I made her mad Sunday night, by the way. She's at church camp too. So some of y'all just thought I just really blew it Sunday night. But we're cool. We're all right. We've been doing this thing a long time. Pray for Daphne. Daphne, as most of you know, she did break her ankle as she was her last day of vacation in Florida, and that little girl broke her ankle, and she did have to have surgery this morning, and so we're praying for Daphne and the Southern family. Continue to pray for Brother Hank Ball, who's recovering from a pulled muscle in his back, and he's one of those guys that if he's not here, or if he acts like he don't feel good, you know he's really not feeling good. And so we're going to pray for Brother Hank that he gets a complete healing. That's where he is. I think the rest of the family went to camp to hear Maddie sing a solo. I don't know, something about kids and solos. Empty out half your church during church camp. But I certainly understand that. We have several still on vacation. And we also need to pray for Brother Henry Ball, who has been diagnosed with pneumonia. Is he doing any better at all? Or not eating very well? Let's just stand together right now and let's go to the Lord and pray especially for Brother Ball and Brother Ball and Daphne and so many that really do need a touch in their body and healing. And God knows all about it, and he's a healer. Lord, we love you. We thank you, Lord, that we're able to come to you in time of need. Lord, we know that you're a prayer-answering God. We thank you, Lord, that with your stripes we are healed. And by the authority of that word, we bind every sickness, pneumonia, we bind that pain. We bind that. We speak healing. Lord, we speak by the word of God and the authority of the Holy Ghost. We speak healing and deliverance of pain. We pray in the name of Jesus. And we give you the glory and we give you all the praise. And everybody said amen. We also need to continue to pray for Brother Bill Altop's wife, Miriam. She is not doing very well and she needs a touch. Brother Jason Vest really does need the Lord to move on his behalf tonight. And so, and I know, tell you what, raise your hand if you have a need that's not maybe not physical, but you just need the Lord to move. In a situation. I know we've already prayed, but let's pray especially for Jason. God needs to intervene on his behalf and just do a work. Sometimes we just need the Lord to just show up and do a work. And we can't always tell all the details, and we maybe can't even articulate what we need, but we know we need the Lord to do a work. God, we're thankful that you're an almighty God. You're an all-knowing God. Lord, even when we don't even know how to speak it or describe it, you know every situation and every detail. And Lord, we speak right now your power into these situations. Lord, just come and turn it around. Just come and do a work, Lord, we pray. Lord, just show up and show out and show your power and do a miracle. We pray it in the name of Jesus. We bind every work of the enemy that would try to come against your people. We bind it in the name of Jesus, and we loose the healing power of God, the delivering power of God, the overcoming power of God, in the name of Jesus. Everybody said, in Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated, and thank you for standing. Well, I want to say to our viewers that's watching maybe live stream now, or maybe you're looking in later, we may cut out on you during part of this message. If we cut out, we're not coming back. It'll be towards the end of the message. I have a few things that are just for, sometimes you have to have a family talk. And when you're doing a family talk, you don't put that out on Facebook, all right? Oh, some of us need to learn that, by the way, but not everything's for Facebook. Go with me, if you would, but hang around for a while. We're not leaving you yet. Go to 1 Kings, if you would. The Lord's been talking to me, y'all. So I'm going to just share a little bit of what the Lord's been sharing with me. Is that all right? Sister Lana asked before church. I was shaking her hand. She's selling her house, and she's going to be moving in with somebody for a while, anyway, in the interim, down near where my wife and I are. So she was asking me, well, how are you acclimating to the drive? How's that going for you? And I said, well, to be honest with you, the Lord's talking to me on these 30-minute drives. That didn't happen in the 30-second drives. It had to be real quick. But when I was driving from two blocks away, I was still straightening my tie and finishing off my coffee. But 30 minutes is a little longer, and the Lord's talking to me on some of these trips. So I'm kind of enjoying this a little bit, but it's new. It's new for me. 1 Kings chapter 17, and let's just go there for a little while tonight. I'm just going to share what I feel like the Lord has shared, has kind of given me. When we go to 1 Kings 17, go to chapter 18, not 17. When we get to chapter 18, we're really kind of looking in on God's people. When the Lord has, through Elijah, spoken prophetically a 3-year drought. We're looking at them at the end of this three and a half year drought. This is towards the end of it. So they've already gone all this time with no water. The Lord has been moving and speaking and all of these things for three and a half years. And the Bible, now here's the situation. When Elijah was ministering to the people of God, most of them had turned their back on God. They were following a false god. There were all of these prophets that outnumbered Elijah, and they were prophets of Baal, this false god by the name of Baal, and many of these people had fallen into worshiping Baal. And Elijah just finally, you know, there is such a thing as a righteous and a holy indignation. There is such a thing when the Lord finally speaks to you and you just kind of say, you know, enough is enough. I've had all I can take, and now I just got to say something. And Elijah, as the man of God, got to that point, and he came in verse 21, and Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? Here you are, one day you think you want to serve Jehovah, and the next day you're over here messing around with Baal. And he said, if the Lord be God, in other words, make up your mind and follow him. But if Baal, then make up your mind and follow him. Enough with this indecisiveness. Come on, somebody. Enough with all this ambiguity among God's people. I think I want to serve God, but I'm not sure I want to serve God. I think I want to go to church, but I think I'll stay home from church. I want to do right, but I think I'll just... And Elijah, this isn't my sermon, this is Elijah's. When he said, hey, make up your minds. And he brings them to a moment of truth. And the people answered him, not a word. Well, I've been there. Some sermons, you get a lot of amens. Some, you don't get a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain as a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let me just read for you a little bit here. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock and lay it on wood and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods. And I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, well, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, your choice. Choose you one bullock for yourselves and dress it, for you are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it and called on the name of Baal. Watch this. From morning until noon. And here's what they said. O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And so they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, hey, cry a little louder, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or maybe he's in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth, and you got to just wake him up. And so cry a little bit louder. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any to answer nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Now let me pause here. I want to point out something to you. There had been an altar here, but it had become in disarray. It had been disrupted. It had been dilapidated. And let me say, things that we don't tend to don't get better. They just get worse. Things that we don't pay attention to don't improve, they dilapidate. If you don't pay attention to your prayer life, you won't get a better prayer life, you'll have no prayer life. If you don't pay particular attention to the Word of God and make it a priority every single day, I'm going to get in the Word. My wife's not here tonight. Let me brag on her just a little bit. I would embarrass her if she was here. So I'll say it in her absence. But my wife is a solid Bible reader. If she gets up before I, then I almost always know where I'm going to find her. We've moved recently, of course. We're in a new place, so we've had to reposition and find our places. And you know how that all works. She finally figured out what's her chair, what's my chair, all this stuff. But every morning, Brother Kaufman, I know if I come out of the room, she's going to be over there in her recliner. She's got her coffee here, and she's got her Bible here, and she's got her devotional book over here. And she's been up praying before I even get out of bed sometimes. She's already praying, and she's in the Word of God every single day. And so I the Lord spoke to me and said, you know, now I get in the Word every day, but I'm not as constant with my timing. And so the Lord kind of spoke to me and said, you know, you could learn something from the woman. You could learn something from your wife. She doesn't allow anything to disrupt her schedule, and it's first thing in the morning. So if her day doesn't go right, she's already got the Bible read for the day. And the Lord said, well, you need to tell the people the same thing I'm telling you. Order your day. Get up early in the morning before you do anything else and before your day has a chance to wreck your schedule. Go ahead and get up and talk to Jesus. Come on now. Go ahead and get up early and get into the Word of God. You may not get to it later. And the things that we don't pay attention to, they just become in disarray. They will dilapidate. You buy a house and never tend to the house, just let it go. Your weeds will grow up and take over your yard. Things will get in your gutters and eventually start growing. You'll get trees in your gutters, and your gutters will fall down. Stuff will get on your roof that will destroy your shingles. Stuff will attach itself to your siding that will grow and breed and ruin your siding. Things might get in your wood if you don't keep an eye on your wood that might eat and deteriorate your wood. And in a few years, rather than your house looking better, smelling better, being better, your house will fall down around your feet if you don't tend to that thing. It's no different with our walk with God. If we don't pay attention to our walk with God, it will just dilapidate around us. So we've got to pay attention to these things. There was an altar there before, but when Elijah got here, he said, okay, we're going to repair the altar of the Lord. And so this is a season. I feel like the Lord's speaking to us. This is a season. Some of us, we've gotten off track a little bit. We've lost track. We come to church when it's convenient. You need to get back to being in church every single time the doors are open. Thank you. I'm telling you the truth. Our Bible reading, maybe it's kind of slipped away a little bit, and you need to make it a priority. Our prayer lives, maybe they've slipped just a little bit. I'm not on you tonight. I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I'm just trying to remind us that we've got to get back and repair the altars. We wonder why sometimes we don't feel like we used to feel or see what we used to see. Maybe it's not God. In fact, can I just tell you, it's not God. It will always be us. God didn't change. God's not weak. He's not dead. He's not even sick. He's the same God. He's got the same power he had in Genesis 0:0. He's got the same power that he had before he ever spoke a word of creation. He's the same God. So if anything changed, maybe we need to go back to our altars and repair our altars. And so Elijah said, the Bible says that he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. Now, what are these stones significant of? Well, there were 12, the Bible tells us, 12 stones, one for each tribe. Here's the meaning. Elijah is showing us that when it comes to our worship, every tribe needed to be included in the worship of Jehovah. When it comes to our worship, we all need to show up when it comes to our worship with the Lord. We need unity. We need solidarity. We need everybody to be on board. Hallelujah. And so 12 stones, all 12 tribes, we're all in this together. And with the stones, he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar. He dug a ditch, a trench, as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and he cut the bullock in pieces. Now, there are certain historians that have written that they believe that the reason Elijah made the trench for the water, poured the water, we're getting ready to read, was that there were false prophets and prophets of false gods. Now, this is historically. This is not in your Bibles, but historically, that it was discovered that they would dig little holes and little funnels that would go up under the altar, and they would light one end, and the fire would make its way up, and they would kind of surreptitiously light this altar, and it would appear as though there was some miraculous fire consuming these false sacrifices to a false god. And so Elijah, now I don't know if that's true or not, it very well could be, but Elijah is saying, let there be no mistake when this is all said and done. Let there be no mistake, and let no one say that this is not of God. And so, just so you know, there's no trickery here. We'll go ahead, and if there is any fire under there, under the altar already, we'll just go ahead and douse those doubts right now. Sometimes God allows certain things to come. The Lord showed me this. There's times where you don't understand why things are coming in. Floods are coming in. Waters are coming in. You don't even understand it. Maybe God's setting you up for some undeniable move of the power of God. So when it's all said and done, anybody who's watching your life will have to say, that wasn't Ron. That wasn't Steve. That wasn't Rob. That was all God. They had already reached the end of their rope. They were so drowned out, there was no way they could make it except the Lord would bring the fire and consume the altar. So don't get confused and don't be discouraged when the Lord allows some things to come into your life. My Bible says, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Lord would lift up a standard against him. So when the enemy comes in like a flood, go ahead and get excited. God's up to something. I said, you might as well go ahead and get excited. God is up to something. Hallelujah. Put the wood in order. Cut the bullock in pieces. Verse 33, laid him on the wood and said, fill four barrels. Here we go. Fill four barrels with water. Pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time. There's eight. They did it the second time. He said, do it the third time. There's 12. And they did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifices that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, that I am thy servant, that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord. Hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust. Wow. When God moves, God moves. And licked up the water that was in the trench. Everything got consumed. Not just the bullock, but the wood. Not just the wood, but the stones, y'all. And not just the stones, but the water. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces. And they said, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. And I was reading this and thinking on this, and I was kind of talking to the Lord a little bit. And I said, Lord, you know, I was trying to figure out why this big production, not just the water. I get that. I understand that. But before Elijah ever got his turn, he's 450 to 1. 450 prophets of Baal to 1 prophet of the Lord. He's already outnumbered. And then he allows them to go first, and their choice of the bullock, and go ahead and set up your altar. And then all of this production of the yelling and wailing, and I know the Bible says he was mocking them. I understand that. But I think there was more to it than just mocking. I think Elijah was saying, and now listen to me. I think Elijah was saying, yell a little louder. Do whatever you've got to do. Because I want hell to give it its best shot. Because when this is all said and done, I don't want you saying you didn't get your fair shot. So go ahead. First choice of the bullock. Go ahead. You go first. Go ahead. I'm just going to stand back. Hey, yell a little louder. I don't want you saying you didn't yell loud enough. Go ahead, hoop, holler. Yeah, cut yourselves up. Yeah, go ahead. Bleed all over the altar. That's all right. Do whatever you've got to do, because when it's all said and done, I want hell to be able to say it gave it its best shot. I feel like the Lord spoke that to me. Because when God shows up, I want you to notice that all Elijah did was put everything in its proper order. Folks, let me help us with something here. If we would just get everything in its order, we don't have to ask somebody, you know, hey, Caleb, it's a little dry tonight, buddy. Why don't you go shout a little bit, you know? We really want to get revival started here. Somebody, man, somebody run. You've heard worship leaders before. Somebody shout. I've done it before. There's nothing wrong with it per se. But if we're doing it just to try to ignite something that's dead and dry, you know, that's not what it's about. And so the issue's, when something's dead, when something's not moving, when there's no fire, it's not, the issue's not always that we don't have enough movement. Y'all with me here? It's not always that there's not enough activity. Maybe something's out of order. And we've got to have things in order. We've got to get in the Word. We've got to pray. We've got to fast. We've got to trust the Lord. We've got to come into His house with thanksgiving and praise. When we get it right, all Elijah did was put things in order, Brother Nate. And then he didn't scream. He did not yell. He did not jump on the altar. We don't read any of that. He didn't, certainly didn't cut himself. There wasn't 450 prophets of Baal saying, yeah, yell a little louder, because he never yelled. He just started talking to the Lord. Lord, I got the altar repaired. Lord, I got the 12 stones. Lord, I got the wood. Lord, I got the bullock. And Lord, just to remove and eradicate any kind of doubt, I've got the 12 barrels of oil poured all over the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and I filled up the trenches. Now, Lord, would you move? Would you prove to these people that you are God? His feet didn't even have to leave the floor. Here comes the fire. Hell gave it its best shot and lost. And all God has to do is have one man speak His word. And all, I like something I heard recently. I heard Brother Huntley preach, and he was saying, he said, you know, the church ought to be doing so good that the devil ought to say, hell help me, all heaven's broken loose. That's the kind of revival we need. When the devil says, oh, hell help me, all heaven's broken loose. And when we get this right, heaven breaks loose. When we pray, the Bible says that if my people, God said, if you're in trouble, if my people, if you're in a drought, if my people, if you're in pestilence, if my people, if you're in famine, this is what God said, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face. Folks, when God's people begin to pray, heaven will open. He said, I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. I will forgive their sins when we get it right. It just happens. We doing okay? Hallelujah. The Bible talks in Zechariah 14:7. And I know it's referring primarily to the prophecy of the Romans destroying Jerusalem, and I understand that, but I do believe there's a dual prophetic meaning to this particular scripture. When Zechariah says in 14:7, but it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night. What's he describing there? A mixture of light and darkness, a mixture of night and day, twilight. You know, it's the hardest time of day to see is twilight. Because there's no real light, but it's not dark. Your eyes haven't adjusted to the darkness yet. You don't have any light. And the Lord, I believe, is saying, I believe this is a dual prophetic utterance, and I think that the other prophetic meaning is that in the last days when darkness would be all over this earth, and here we are, we are living in the last days, and there's darkness, but there's also light. There's a mixture. And some people might be wondering, well, who's going to win and which one's going to prevail? Well, let me just spoil the ending for you, because Zechariah said, but it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be, somebody shout it with me, light. And so I'm telling you, darkness will not win. The enemy will not win. Hell, I wish I had some Wednesday night people that would help me preach this just a little bit. Come on, I'm telling you, I don't care how dark it gets. The darker it gets, Brother Gunderman, the more the light will shine forth. And there shall be light in the evening time. And it is the power of God shining through His church. Somebody ought to shout amen. Somebody ought to shout amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm sorry to push you so much. I keep forgetting half of us are not here tonight. It just sounds a little quiet. But you're with me. Matthew 16, 18. Remember Peter's famous words to the Lord? You're the Christ. You're the Messiah. Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon of Barjona. Flesh and blood hasn't revealed it to you. He says, I say unto thee also that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. If you're wondering how this is all going to turn out, let me just spoil the ending for you. Hell will not win. Jesus said the gates of hell shall not prevail against what? Against the church. You're in the right thing. You're in the right place. You are the church of the living God. And with all of the world and its lures and its pool and all of the things that try to drag you out of the church, you just remember there's nothing better going. You're in the thing that the gates of hell shall not prevail against. Isaiah 54, 17 says, no weapon. Would you say no weapon? No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. So the devil might form weapons. It doesn't say there wouldn't be any weapons formed, just that they would not prosper. So the devil might form weapons. He might shoot at you. He might point his artillery in your direction. But let me just spoil the ending for you, Brother Chad. If you're ever wondering, am I going to go out like this? No, you're not. Because the Bible says there is no weapon formed against you, brother, that shall be made to prosper. It'll misfire. Or the powder will be wet. Come on now. Or the devil tries to shoot it and it blows up in his own face. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know exactly how it's going to happen. But I know this. The weapon that's formed against the church will not prosper. Go ahead, if you would, brother, borrow, or sister, I'm sorry, you're back here, aren't you? I've been preaching to him all night. Who's up there? Sister Branham, if you would, go ahead and kill the live feed. Hey, thanks for joining us. We love you. We want you to come be with us and join us again Sunday morning, 9:45. We'll be live streaming again.